Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Gimel. We're going to start towards the bottom of Chaf Beis, Omid Beis, with the Mishnah. And we left a little bit early in yesterday's share because we wanted to do the entire Mishnah today. So we begin the Mishnah about 10, 15 lines up from the bottom, Chaf Beis, Omid Beis. In the previous Mishnah, we had said, according to the Tana of that Mishnah, that the Mei Sota, the Mei Hamarim, in fact, could be held in abeyance if the woman had Zuchusim. And in our Mishnah, we see the opposite opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein zuchus tola b'mayim hamarim. In fact, the fact that the woman is righteous, she has some other zuchusim that will not help her. It will not prevent the mei hamarim from working. And notice we use the lashon mei hamarim, which was the same lashon that we had on Dav Vav. However, we're going to then switch over and refer to the waters as mei hame'orin, hamayim hame'orin. The Tosfos Yontif says that the actual proper name for the waters is the mayim hame'orin, and only in the first statement of the Mishnah, Ein Zuchus Tola B'Mayim, and on Dav Vav, do we find the usage of the terms Hamarim. In the Sefri, which the Tosfos Yontif brings down, he says the real proper name is Mayim Hamarim Hame'orim, which reflects both the fact that it's bitter and the fact that it's accursed. And in fact, we had previously discussed that they added bitter items into the waters in order to fulfill the idea that it is bitter as well as accursed. In any event, Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe that Zuchusim will prevent the Mei Hamarim from going and affecting her. Ein Zuchus Tola B'Mayim. And if you were to say that that was the case, like the previous Tana did, V'imat Omer Ein Zuchus Tola B'Mayim Hamarim, and here we use the terminology Mayim Hamarim, but it's the same, so he would then can be concerned, Madhe, that's the Girsa that we have, Madhe means it diminishes or it makes it less important. It will make it lose its significance. Like we have dihui or dihui. Some have the gears of madcha, so it means it pushes it aside. It makes it less significant. Atos amayim bifnei kol hanoshim ashosos. Women are going to drink this and nothing's going to happen to them, so they're going to say, hey, the waters don't work, and it's going to lead other women to Rachman al-Islam think they can get away with adultery. Ma'ade ato asamayim if they call anosh mashosos. Furthermore, motzi ato shema al ha-tahora shashosu. And any woman who, in fact, does drink and is not bothered by the waters don't go and hurt her. So people say, yeah, it's because she had zechusu, but in fact she was an adulteress. So you're casting aspersions on the women that don't die from the mehamarim. So therefore, shomrim tmeos, those women are going to say, yeah, that woman was really tmeos hein, elushatos len zechus, but he must have had some zechus. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon holds that the waters impact on her immediately. Rebbe disagrees with both Rebbe Shimon, and he holds really like the Tanakama that we had previously. Rebbe Omer, Hazchus Tole b'mayim hamarim, the Zuchus can in fact go and prevent the Mayim Hamarim from working, but Rebbe says in order to deal with the concerns that Rebbe Shimon says that people will then say that the waters don't work or that the women in fact were guilty, but they had Zuchusim that prevent them from having the waters attack them, so Rebbe holds that Hazchus Tole b'mayim hamarim, but their merits will in fact go and prevent the waters from attacking them right away in killing them. But she won't have any of the benefits that an innocent woman gets, in that if she hadn't had children, she'll now have children. If she didn't have good children, she'll now have good children, etc., which we'll learn about still in the Masechta. And what will happen is she will become sick right away. So people will see that the water is having an impact on her. She just won't die right away. But eventually, when she does die, when the zuchus stops working to prevent the waters from killing her, so a year or two or 3 years later, so then she will die the horrible death that the mesota go about bringing. So this is the response to Rabbi Shimon's concerns from Rebbe. Now, the Mishnah now tells us a number of other dinim about the mincha that the sota brings. Nit meis minchasa, the mincha karban that she brings, if it became tamei, achelo kitchbukli. Well, it was still in the kfifa mitzvahs that she brings it in, that it wasn't yet having kedushas haguf. It only had kedushas domim. So at that point in time, if it didn't have kedushas guf by being put into the kli shareis, so then harehi could call him an achos v'sifta. So then it's like any other mincha that only has kedushas domim. Any other carbon, in fact, that has kedushas damim, it can be redeemed. This sipada, it gets a mum, it can be redeemed. If it gets broken, it can be redeemed. Or even if it's not a carbon, if it doesn't ever have kedushas agof, if it only has kedushas damim, it can be redeemed. So if you donate a chair to the Beis HaMikdash, somebody can redeem it, and that money goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and the chair becomes chulin. So to over here, if it hadn't yet been put into the Kli Sharis, it was still in the Kvifa Mitzvahs, it had just been designated to be used for the Mincha of the Sota, but it didn't have Kedusha Sagof. So then, if the woman doesn't drink, or whatever happens, that this process is not going forward, so then it is allowed to be redeemed. However, in Mishikotsheba Kli, if in fact it was put into the Kli Sharis, now it has what we call Kedusha Sagof, and Harei he could call it Menachos V'Sisarit. So then it will be like any other Mincha that has Kedusha Sagof, you can't go redeem it. If an animal has Kedusha Sagof and it gets a mum, then it can be redeemed. But while it's without a mum, if it's unblemished, it can't be redeemed. So too, the mincha can't get a blemish in it. Even if it comes to tummy, it's not blemished, and therefore this is sorry. There is no alternative, but you go and burn it. Now, this not only for this mincha, as Rashi says, Shekitcha Kedusha Sagof, Einu Yotzis Od L'chulin, there's no way it can ever be chulin. It's not only for this type of a mincha that became tamei, but other minachos as well. The elu sheminchosei nisrafos. This same idea that the mincha will have to be burnt once it has kedushas haguv, because it was put into Kli Sharis, supplies in the following series as well. We turn to Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. If a woman says omeres tamei ani l'cha, if the woman admits after it had been put into the Kli Sharis that listen, I had unfortunately committed adultery, so in that situation, she can't bring the mincha, she doesn't drink the mesota, she gets divorced, and she doesn't get a ksuba. But in this situation, the mincha had already been put into Kli Sharis, so it can't be redeemed. So you burn it. Or if witnesses come that she, in fact, had been tmeya. Now, in that situation, you can't drink the mesota, and in that situation, you can't bring the mincha. Or if she says, Omeris, any shosa, they haven't yet erased the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, she says, I'm just not drinking. So in that situation also, her mincha is to be burnt. It was in the Kli Sharis, and this goes like the shita that says, first you bring the mincha and then you drink, or it goes like the shita that says, first you drink and then you bring the mincha, but they inappropriately brought the mincha first. In any event, in this situation, the mincha can't be carried, and it has to be burnt. Likewise, Shabala in Urselashkosa, the husband has to go and make the wife drink the Meisota. If, in fact, he changes his mind and says, listen, I really don't want her to die. I love her, and even though she committed adultery, I don't want her to die. For whatever the reason, he says, I don't want her to drink. So then she doesn't drink, and her mincha can't be brought. It was already in the Kli Sharis, so it has to be burnt. Vishabala Bo'ala Baderech, or if the husband had relations with her on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, she's not allowed to do that. And if he's not free of Ovon, then the waters don't work. So therefore, she can't drink in that situation. And if her mincha had been put into the Kli Sharis to make it Kedusha Sagov, so it has to be burnt as well. And by the way, the Mishnah tells us, V'chol HaNesuos L'Kohanim, in a situation where a woman is married to a Kohen, Minchoseim Nisrafos, none of their Mincha is able to be eaten. There is no Shiari HaMincha, there is no Shrayim to the Mincha of a Kohen, and likewise, the wife of a Kohen, there is no concept of the Shrayim being able to be eaten by the Pirchei Kohuna, and in fact, anybody who's married to a Kohen has the same din as the Kohen, essentially, in that there is no Shrayim, and it can't be eaten, and therefore the entire Mincha, the Kemitza, when it's done, as we'll see, as well as the Shrayim, or Minchoseim Nisrafos, has to be burned. It has nothing to do with the din of a Sota, this has to do with any wife of a Kohen, whether she's herself a Bas Kohen, or whether she's a Bas Levi, or a Bas Yisrael. If she's married to a Kohen, her Mincha is not allowed to be eaten. And we'll learn more about this now in the Mishnah. So it tells us, Bas Yisrael, Shenisis LeKohen, even though she was a Yisrael, but she's married to a Kohen, so now she has the same dinim as a Kohen, in that Minchoso Nisrafes, her Mincha has to be burned. Because a Kohen doesn't do kemitza when he brings a mincha, and in fact, the entire mincha is burnt. There is no kemitza, and there is no shrayim, and the entire mincha is burnt. We'll see, however, that the wife of the Kohen, who's the Yisraelis, so she does have to do kemitza on her mincha, but the entire mincha is burnt, the kemitza as well as the shrayim, and we'll have a lot of discussion about this in the Gemara. So, in this situation, a Bais Yisrael, this is the Kohen, minchas and Yisrafes. Likewise, the Kohenes, Shenisa Yisrael, but in the opposite scenario, where a Bas Kohen goes and marries a Yisrael, so then she takes upon the dinim of a Yisrael, and Minchosa Necheles. In this situation, there is a Kmitza taken off, the Kmitza is put onto the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim are able to be eaten by the Pirchei Kohuna. So even though she's a Bas Kohen, but now she's married to Yisrael, so she takes on the dinim of Yisrael, and likewise, a Bas Yisrael that marries a Kohen takes on the dinim of a Kohen. Good. Tell now some additional dinim. Ma bein kohen l'kohenes. Once we institute over here that there's a difference between a Yisraelis who married a Kohen and a Bas Kohen who married a Yisrael, so ma bein kohen l'kohenes. Are there differences, the Mishnah tells us, yes there are, between a Kohen and a Kohenes. So, minchas kohenes necheles, a mincha of a Kohenes, of a Bas Kohen, is allowed to be eaten, as opposed to u minchas kohen enu necheles. A Bas Kohen who brings a mincha So in that situation, it is allowed to have a kmitza done to it, and the shrayim are in fact able to be eaten by the pirchei kahuna. Rashi points out in Dibra Maskel Minchos and Echeles, he says the kol minchas kohen kolil tiyeh lo siyachel. That's a pasuk that says that a kohen, when he brings his mincha, there is no kmitza; it's entirely sacrificed on the mizbeach. However, avol kohenes, he says in this situation, a kohenes and Yisrael, Yisrael, who's married to Yisrael, then the dinim of Yisrael apply. And he is v'chein kohenes almana. Likewise, the wife of a kohen, when she's an almana, ugrusha, or divorce of a kohen, and she brings a mincha, also ne'echeles. That din applies to her as well. So the bottom line is that the din of a kohen, his mincha is kolil tiyeh, lo se'achel, only applies to the kohen himself, and it also applies while he's married to a Yisraelis, or a bas levi, or bas kohenes, then the korban mincha that she brings also is not allowed to be eaten. But everybody else, it's allowed to be eaten. The shrayim are allowed to be eaten by the pirchei kahuna. It's kodesh kadoshim. It's eaten within the azara by the pirchei kahuna. Now, the next difference is kohenes mischalelis, a bas kohen who unfortunately has relations with somebody that she's ushered to. So if she's nivala le pasula, if she is having relations with somebody that passels her from being a kohen, a bas kohen, so then she is in fact no longer considered a bas kohen, and she is a chalola, and her children, even if she marries a kohen, so those children will not be kohanim. And certainly she has lost the status of being able to marry a kohen, and if she's a bas kohen herself, she can't eat truma anymore, she is a chalola. So she's lost her status as being a bas kohen. So a kohenes, a woman kohen, can be mischalelas, as opposed to, surprisingly, the kohen ain't mischalel. And we'll see this is all based upon psukim. A male kohen who marries, for example, a grusha, so his children will be chalolim, so they won't be kohanim, but he himself isn't mischalel based upon the psukim, and while he's married to her, he can't do the avoda, but as soon as he divorces the grusha that he wasn't allowed to marry, he was over alive in marrying her, and as soon as he divorces her, he again becomes a halachically acceptable kohen to do the avoda. So he doesn't become a cholol. Only the kohenes becomes mischalelas, but the kohen doesn't become a cholol. Likewise, kohenes mitam lemesim. A kula for a kohenes is she's allowed to be mitam lemesim. And nevertheless, vein kohen mitam lemesim. And of course, a kohen can't be mitam lemesim. So a male versus a female kohen, there is a difference. There is absolutely no prohibition for the daughter of a kohen to go to a levaya, to go to a cemetery. Whereas, of course, for the kohen, he's not allowed to go. Furthermore, kohen ochel b'kotche kadoshim. The pirchei kohuna, the male kohanim, are allowed to eat kotche kadoshim. This would be, for example, a chatos, an osham. They would be allowed to go and eat a korban mincha. All of the korbanos that are kotche kadoshim, the only one that is a korban tzibur, shlamim, that is kotche kadoshim, is the kisei atzeres that are brought on Shavuos. So any of these are kotche kadoshim, and the pirchei kohuna are allowed to eat the meat from them in the azara, only by the male kohanim, not by the female kohanim. Then kohanim zochel kotchi kadoshim. While the female kohanim are allowed to eat shlamim, they're allowed to eat other korbanos, they're not allowed to eat kotchi kadoshim. Only the male kohanim can do that. Once we've introduced difference between a man and a woman kohen, so now we introduce differences, ma bein ish lisha, what are differences between a man and a woman? So, for example, if they are mitzora, only a male mitzora, ish poreya uforeim, only a male mitzora has the obligation to let his hair grow, that's poreya, a para adam, Yishmol is called a para adam, so there's only the obligation for a male mitzora to let his hair grow, uforeim, and he has to go and rip his garments. The Ein Ha'isha, who's a Mitzoras, Poras, Uforemis. The Isha, who's a Mitzoras, doesn't necessarily have to let her hair grow, and she doesn't have to go and cut her garments, to rip her garments. Similarly, Ha'ish, Madir Es Beno B'Nazir. As we learned in Masechta Nazir, a man can go and make his son be a Nazir. We had a whole discussion. If the wife, if the family members, if the relatives object, so then it doesn't go through. But a man, at least Min Hadin, has the right to make his son a Nazir. Whereas the mother, the Ein Ha'isha, Madir Es Beno B'Nazir. Only the father can make his son be a Nazir, force his son to be a Nazir, whereas the mother cannot. Again, it's all based upon Psukim. Furthermore, Ha'ish Magaleach HaNaziris Avir. If the father had become a Nazir and had set aside either money or korbanos, this was a machlokas we had in Nazir as well. We're not going to go through all the machlokas again here now, but under certain situations that the father had set aside money for his korbanos Naziris, that's the way we paskin. So under certain circumstances, the son is allowed to take those funds that his father had put aside and go and pay for his own Nazirus Karbanos. It was a machlokis. We had a Nazir. This was, he was already a Nazir, or he wasn't the Nazir, and now he's taking upon himself the Nazirus based upon the monies that his father had set aside. But in any event, this is only applicable for the son. Ha'ish b'galeich al Nazirus Aviv, v'ino'isha, the daughter, is not able to go and take those funds and use them for her Nazirus Karbanos. Magalachas al Nazirus Aviv, she's not allowed to do that. Furthermore, Ha'ish b'kadish hasbito, a man has the right to be mekadish his daughter up until the age of Bagrus, when she's either a ketano or a nara. The father is allowed to go be mekadish his daughter, but the mother is not. At least on a deraisa level, the mother cannot. They know Ha'ish b'kadish hasbito, the mother cannot go be mekadish the daughter when she's a nara or a ketana. However, there is a din derabbanan when the father Nebuch is has either died, or she's a Yisoma B'chai Aviyah, the father had married her off, and then she got divorced, so then Midir Abanon, the mother, or the older brothers, are in fact allowed to go and marry her off. But on a Deraisa level, only the father can marry off his daughter, the mother cannot. Furthermore, Ha'ish Mocher Esbito, the father is allowed to sell his daughter as an Omo Ha'ivriya. Can't the Nebuch afford to support her, and he's hoping to marry her off in this way, and this will be the dowry, the work that she does will be her dowry. He's Nebuch poor, and this was a method that the Torah put into place to help protect the little girl, that she shouldn't become Hefker. So Ha'ish Mocheres Bito, only the father has the right to go and sell off his daughter in this fashion. Ha'ish, the mother, does not have the right, Mocheres Bito, to go and sell off her daughter. Furthermore, Ha'ish Niskal Arum, a man whose chayiv skila, so we had discussed it earlier, and we had said that it's preferable for the man to suffer less and be embarrassed. So he's getting his skila while he's unclothed. So in this fashion, he will die faster. It's a misa, with brolo misa yofel. We have an obligation to go and pick the most optimal death for this person that Nebuch is chayiv misas based in. So we are going to do skila with him naked because his embarrassment is less important. He would rather die quickly and be in less pain. However, the woman, her embarrassment is going to outweigh the additional suffering she would have if she was clothed. It would take her a little bit longer to die. So therefore, for the man, he would prefer to have a quicker death and not concern himself with the embarrassment. That doesn't bother him. Whereas a woman would rather have a slightly slower, more painful death, but not be embarrassed by being naked. So, Ha'ish Niskal Arum, Ha'ish Niskal Saruma. The Mishnah continues and tells us, when a man gets skila, so afterwards, Ha'ish Nisla, so after the person has his Mises based in, so they also hang a man, but they don't do this for the woman. They know Ha'ish Nitlas, that would be too much of a embusha for the woman, and therefore, the man is hung, but the woman is not. And finally, Ha'ish Nimkar B'Gnevaso, but again, all this based on Psukim, which we'll see in the Gemara, a man is sold, if Rachmona Litzlan, he was a thief, and he can't return the money. He's unable to pay for it. So then, nimkar b'gnevo so. However, if a woman is a thief, she isn't sold as a amo ha'avriya. V'ino isha nimkeres b'gnevo so. A woman is not sold if she's unable to pay back something that she had stolen. Again, we'll go through the Gemara to explain all of these things. Let's start right now. The Gemara begins, Tana Rabbana. We bring the following brisa that reiterates what we said at the beginning of the Mishnah. Call an esuas lekuhuna, any woman, whether she's a bas kohen, a bas levi, or bas israel. So if she is now married to a kohen, so she accepts basically certain dinim like a kohen, and that min chosein nisrofos. So in this situation, she has, if she brings a korban mincha, that mincha, even though it may need a kmitza, as we will see, but the shrayim, which are normally able to be eaten by the pirkei kohuna, are not able to be eaten in this situation. They are burnt as well. Ketzad, what are we talking about? Kohenes, leviyav, yisraelis, shenisas, the kohen. Again, a bas kohen, a bas levi, or a bas yisrael that goes and marries a kohen, ein minchosa necheles. Her mincha is not eaten. Certainly, the kmitza is never eaten, but even the shrayim in this situation are not eaten. Why? Mipnei, sheyesh lo, chelik bo, because her husband, the kohen, owns part of it. And therefore, since we had brought down the pasuk earlier, that the husband is obligated to go and have Khalil Toktar, Khalil Tia, Lo Seyachel, his entire mincha is brought up on the Mizbeach, so since he owns part of it, so the shrayim, since he owns part of the shrayim, cannot be eaten. The husband has part of it. However, he doesn't own all of it, since the woman also has part of it. The Eino Ola Kola. We don't just put the entire mincha up on the Mizbeach. Ella what? Mivnei Sheyesh Lo Chelik Ba. Since she has partial ownership in it, therefore, what do? Ella HaKomates. You have to do a kmitza on the woman's bringing the wife of the Kohen. When she brings a mincha, you have to do a kmitza on it. For the Kohen, you don't do kmitza. Here you do a kmitza, and HaKomates Korei B'Yatzmo. You separately bring the kmitza, as you always do with every Korei Mincha. You bring the kmitza up onto the Mizbeach. But here, the Hashrayim Kravim Yatzman. You bring them up separately on the Mizbeach, as opposed to when the Kohen brings a Mincha. So the entire Mincha without Kemitza is put up on the Mizbeach. Here, the Kemitza and the Shrayim are both put up separately on the Mizbeach. They can't be eaten because the Kohen is part owner of it, but they can't be not having the Kemitza done to it because she's a part owner of it and it needs a Kemitza. And therefore, Hashrayim Kravim Yatzman. Therefore, you separate the Shrayim, but you can't eat them. You bring them up on the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, wait a second, this seems to be problematic. Ikre Khan, here we would be applying the following. It says, Kol shu mimenu le'ishim harehu b'val taktiru. Normally something that is separated from that which belongs on the Mizbeach, when you have something that originally was intact, and then part of it you put on the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim are taken off from that, and they're not sacrificed, so then it's usur to go and sacrifice them. The pasuk tells us, "Kol hamincha asher takrivu l'Hashem lo se'aseh chametz ki kol sor v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu ishel l'Hashem." This is what's called lo saktiru, hu beval taktiru, that there is an isur to go and put the shrayim up on the Mizbeach. Normally we take the Shrayim off from the Mincha, we take the Kemitz off, that goes on the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim don't go on the Mizbeach. So in fact, the Shrayim are also to be put on the Mizbeach. How can you tell me that this Mincha of the wife of a Kohen, the Shrayim are put on the Mizbeach? It seems to be over, Baal Taktiru. So we'll give two terutzim. The first one is, Amar Yehuda Breder Rabbi Shimon Ben Pasi, the Masik Lulushum Eitzim K'Rabbi Eliezer. This goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that says that, yes, you're not allowed to go burn it on the Mizbeach as part of an obligatory burning, but you can put it up on the Mizbeach. This Isur Baal Taktiru is only to sacrifice it on the Mizbeach, but to use it as the equivalent of firewood on the Mizbeach, the Masik Lulushum Eitzim, that is permitted. And this is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, the Tani. We learn this in the Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. And this, Rashi tells us, reminds us in the first of the wide lines in Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer is Pluksayib Zvachim. This is a machlokis that they have on Daf Ayin Zayin in Zvachim. Evari Chatos Shedis Arbu Beivari Ola. You have the limbs of a Chatos, which are not sacrificed on the Mizbeach, that get mixed up with the limbs of an Ola, which is sacrificed on the Mizbeach. And now you don't know what to do. You can't eat it because maybe it's an Ola. It's supposed to be on the Mizbeach. But you can't put it on the Mizbeach because maybe it's the limbs of a Chatos that don't go up on the Mizbeach and supposed to be eaten. So what does Rabbi Lezer say? Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yitainim Lamala. You put them all up on the Mizbeach. Maybe it's an Ola, so it belongs in the Mizbeach. But maybe it's a Chatos that doesn't belong in the Mizbeach. You look at that part that is a chatas. After all, you're putting it all up in the Mizbeach, so some of it is definitely chatas on the Mizbeach. You view the chatas on the Mizbeach, kilu heim eitzim. You view it as firewood. This is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that says you view it as firewood. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham Omrim, they say, to ubar tzurasim, you have to let all of them spoil, decay, so they're no longer viable to be put up on the Mizbeach or to be used. The yatzu lebeis esreifa, and you bring them out to the base of Sreif and you burn them over there because she'asur lahaktir evari chatos mishum lab the kol shemimenu le'ishim. That's exactly it is bal taktiru, that you're not allowed to go and put them up on the Mizbeach if they're supposed to be eaten. And therefore, the Chachamim say, since some of this is chatos limbs, the other evarim are ola limbs, so we don't know what to do. So therefore, wait till they all have changed their form, they've all spoiled, and then you burn them all in the base of Sreifa, because it's also to put up the Chatas up there, whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, it's also to put up the Chatas there as a carbon, but you can put it up there as firewood. This is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Aval Atam Aleyu L'Shum Eitzim, and therefore, the explanation for how the wife of the Kohen, how her Shrayim are put up on the Mizbeach, goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that you view it as firewood, and it's not a problem, you're not over Baal Taktiru. That's Teretz number one. Where it says, that's great if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Hanichal Rabbi Eliezer. The Islay Haisvara. So that works out well if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Teretz number one. But what happens if you hold like the Chacham, Elu Rabbanan, the less Haisvara? The Chacham who argued with Rabbi Eliezer just said that you have to be to Uber to Rasan and you burn in the base of Sreifa. You're not going to go put it up on the Mizbeach. So according to the Chachamim, how do you put the Shrayim up on the Mizbeach when the wife of the Kohen brings her carbon mincha? Ma'ikal Amemra, what are you going to say? So we have Teretz number two. They must hold the Avdiluhu to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. They hold like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar by Rabbi Shimon. What is that? So Rashi tells us this is Gemara Menachos and Daf Ayin Gimel. In Menachos, Perek Eil Menachos, it says Gabi Minchas Kohen, Minchas Chote Kohen. This is the mincha that a Kohen brings. This is a korban olivi yored. If the Kohen's wealthy, he brings an animal, chatas. If he's not so wealthy, he brings bird offerings. And if he's dali dalos, he's very, very poor, he can bring a mincha offering. And this is brought for certain types of sins. Shemevi al shmias kol, o al bitus vasayim, o al tumas mikdosh vikodoshov. Bidali dalos. An impoverished Kohen, if he knows a certain evidence for Burton but refuses to give it, he says he doesn't know it. He falsely testifies that he doesn't know this evidence, this Eidus, and he really does. Or he enters into the Beis HaMikdash while he is Tomei, or he swears falsely. So in all of these situations, Tanya, we learn, the Rebbe Rav Shimon Omer, HaKomeitz Koreiv Bi'atzmo. In this situation, the Kohen, when he brings it, so his Kmitza in this situation is brought, and it's Koreiv Bi'atzmo. Vashrayim Mispazrut Abeis HaDeshen. In this situation, the Kohen also does a kmitza, as opposed to every other situation. When it's not a chatas, you're bringing a carbon mincha, the coin is kolil tiyeh, you bring it totally up on the mizbeach, and lo siyachel, none of it is eaten. So in this situation, and only this situation, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says that we view this as something for which he has to get kapara from, so you have to do a kmitza. The kmitza is put up on the mizbeach, hakomitz karbi bi'atzmo, but the shrayim in this situation, mispazrit al beis hadeshen. Rashi says that in this situation, you just spread it out over the beis hadeshen, you don't put it up on the mizbeach. Tosis is a different understanding. We'll just learn simple like Rashi. In any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon learns that this is the exception to the rule. Here, the mincha chatas offering of the Kohen is compared to a Yisrael's mincha offering, and there is kmitza, and there is shrayim. While the shrayim aren't eaten, the shrayim have to be mispazun al beis hadeshen, as opposed to the Tanakama of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says, no, this is compared to every other Kohen's mincha. Even though it's a chatas, it's compared to every other Kohen's mincha, and in fact, there is no kmitza, and the entire korban mincha is sacrificed up on the mizbeach. And we turn to the Yomit Beis, Vafilu Rabbanan, who argue with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. They only argue, lo pligi alei, the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, ela b'mincha schot ishokadim. They only disagree in regards to this specific mincha that is brought as a chatas, the korban olav yored, chatas olav yored. Only here do the Chachamim say that the entire chatas is brought up on the mizbeach, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, no, that there's a kmitza, and that the shrayim are not brought up on the mizbeach like the kmitza, but they're spread out on the beis hadeshen. Because, only in this situation, the basak rovahi, because according to the Chachamim, they say that this mincha is supposed to be entirely brought up on the Mizbeach. Alvo Baha, but regarding the mincha of the wife of a Kohen, Afilu Rabbanan Modu, in this situation, they agree with Rabbi Elazar Shimon that there is a kmitza, and in this situation, there is no problem in doing the kmitza and having the shrayim in this situation also mispazrin al beis hadeshen. And that's teretz number two. How does the wife of the Kohen do a kmitza? And what do you do with the shrayim? So the kmitza is brought up on the mizbeach. And like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, even the Chachamim over here hold that for the wife of the Kohen, when she brings a mincha, it's mispazun al beis hadeshen. So these are the two terutz in Idiot, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you view it as firewood and it's actually brought on the mizbeach, or you do the kmitza and only the kmitza is brought on the mizbeach, and like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, you put the shrayim on the beis hadeshen. Then we quote the Mishnah. We went through a whole list of things, and we said there are differences between men and women, between a Kohen and a Kohenes. So let's go through now. The Gemara will explain each one based upon what Pesukim. So Bas Yisrael and Sui V'chule, we said that in the situation where Bas Yisrael or Bas Levi or Bas Kohen is married to a Kohen, so then her mincha is burned. None of it is eaten. The shrayim are not eaten by Pir Chakuna. But the other way around, if a Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael, then her mincha is eaten. Just like a regular Yisrael's mincha is divided up in the shrayim being eaten by the Pirchei Kuna and the kmitza being put on the mizbeach. Why? My time. What's the psukim that support this? So the pasuk says, the Amar Kra, the whole minchas kohen, kolil tielos yachel. This pasuk we already brought down from Rashi earlier in the shir. So this pasuk tells us that the mincha of a kohen is totally put up in the mizbeach and none of it is eaten. There's no shrayim. Only the Kohen below Kohenes. So this teaches us that the din applies only to the Kohen, but not to a Kohenes, a Bas Kohen, who's married to Yisrael. Next in the mission, we said Kohenes mischala alas, Kohen ein mischala. We said that only a Kohenes, the daughter of a Kohen, can become a chalala. And the Kohen himself, either he marries a Grusha, so he's not allowed to do the avoda while he's married to Grusha, but once he divorces her, he goes back to being a regular Kohen, he doesn't become a chalala. What is this based upon? Me, Nalan. So the Gemara says, the Amakra, again, based upon Pesukim. The Pasuk says, V'lo yichalel zar'o bi'amav. It says that his zera shall not become a chalala, meaning only the zera of a Kohen, zar'o mischala. The Kohen marries a divorcee, so his zera is a chalol or a chalolah. But he himself, who ain't a mischala, but he doesn't become a chalal. If he divorces her, he becomes a regular kohen again in terms of doing the avoda. Then we said, Kohenes mitama v'chule. A Kohenes is allowed to go be mitami tumas meis, whereas a Kohen, of course, cannot be mitami tumas meis. Again, how do we know this? My timer. We look at the Pesukim. Amakra, the Pesukim tell us, Emor l'kohanim b'nei Aaron. It says specifically, tell the Kohanim, and which Kohanim? Only b'nei Aaron. So this din of l'nefesh lo yitama b'yamav, the end of that Pasuk, only applies to b'nei Aaron, the males, below b'nos Aaron, not the female members of the Kohen family. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kohen Ocha B'Kotchi Kadoshim, but a Kohenis is not allowed to eat from Kotchi Kadoshim. How do we know that? So again, we have a pasuk, Dirsiv, Kol Zohar B'Vnei Aaron Yochlena. It talks here about Kotchi Kadoshim only allowed to be eaten by a Zohar, by the Pirchei Kohuna. The Zohar B'Nei Aaron are allowed to eat the Kotchi Kadoshim, but not the female Kohanim, not the daughters of a Kohen. Then we listed in the Mishnah a whole bunch of differences between a man and a woman. Mabi Nish Vechule, we said there's certain things that are applicable to a man and not applicable to a woman. The first one was in terms of Metzora. We said that a male Metzora has the obligation to let his hair grow and to do rip kriya on his garments, but a woman doesn't have that obligation, either one. So how do we know that? Tana Rabbanan. So we're reading the following Brisa. The Pasuk tells us, Ish Tzaruahu Tamehu, Tamei Tamenu, HaKohen, Birosho, Nigo. So it says, Ish Tzarua. Ish implies, Ein Li'ela Ish, that the din of Tzaras only applies to a man. Ish will be nine. How do we know that the din of Tzaras also applies to a woman? The next pasuk, Shomer, the next pasuk tells us, Vihat Tzarua, which is extra, Asher Bo Hanega. It could have just continued and said that, with ready talking about Ish Tzaruahu, and just say, Bigodav Yufrumim, Birosho Yeparua. Why did it say the extra words, Vahat Tzarua Asher Bo Hanega? That's all extra. And therefore, Hare Ketchnaim, it's come to teach us that there are men and women who come a Tzarua. They become having Tzaras. Then, if that's true, that it applies to both men and women, Imkei Matam Lomer Ish, why did it start off saying Ish Tzaruahu? So the extra words Ish are coming, L'inyan Shlamata, to come to tell us that which comes next in the Pasuk. Bigodav Yufrumim, Virosho Yefarua. It's only for that. Ish Parea Luchule, a man has the obligation to go and let his hair grow and to cut his garment, but the woman doesn't have such either one of these two obligations of letting the hair grow and cutting the garments. Then we said, Hoish Madir's binozir, Veino Ishim, and there's been a binozir. The father can go make his son a nozir, but the mother doesn't have the ability to make her son into a nozir. So where is this from? So Amar Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, as we learned in the Gemara in Nazir, halacha hi binozir. This is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. We don't have a pasuk for this, but it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. There was a discussion about this in the Gemara in Nazir. Not everybody agreed with Yochanan. In any event, that's what our Gemara brings down right now to tell us this is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Then we said, we said that the son can, under certain situations, take the funds that his father had designated for his own korbanos nezirus, and the father never passed away. The son can use those for his korbanos nezirus, but the woman, the daughter, cannot. What is this based upon? Again, Amar Rav Yochanan, halacha hi b'nozir. This is another halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that we have in regards to nozir. Then we had said, Ish Mekadesh is Bito, Ve'en Ish Mekadesh is Bito. A man has the right to go and marry off his daughter in full-fledged Kiddushin. Ve'en Ish Mekadesh is Bito. But the mother doesn't have the right to marry off the daughter in regular Kiddushin. How do we know that? Based upon the Pasuk. You see, the Pasuk says, as Biti Nasati Lishazeh. The father has the right, the Pasuk says, to say, I gave my daughter over to this man to be his wife. And therefore, only the father has the right, but not the mother, based upon the Pasuk. Then we said, Ish Mocher is Bito, Ve'en Ish Mocher is Bito. We said that a man is allowed to sell his daughter to be an Amo Evriya, but the mother doesn't have that same right. How do we know this? So again, based upon the Pasuk, Dirsib, Vechi Yimkor Ish es Bito. The Pasuk tells us if a man sells off his daughter as an Amo Evriya, but it doesn't give the rights to the mother to sell off the daughter as an Amo Evriya. Then we said, Ish Niskalarim Vechule, a man, if he is Chayiv Skila, so we do the Skila with him not clothed, whereas the woman, we clothe her in order to save her the embarrassment of being naked. But it's a little bit more painful. So how do we know this? My time out. What's the reasoning? So it's based upon the Pasuk. So the Pasuk says, you shall go and give him skila. You will go and stone him. Now, it says, oso, him, my oso. It implies, ilema, oso. It only applies to a man, the din of skila. Below oso, but there's no din of skila by a woman. That's not true. Because the Pasuk also tells us, it says, beferish, that a woman is mechuyev skila. If she doesn't have Eret, for which she's Mechuyev, a Skila, she gets Skila also. So how can Beruach Mu'osa only apply to the man and not to the woman, when the Pesukim clearly tells us that both men and women can be Mechuyevim Skila? Therefore, it must be Ella, when it says Beruach Mu'osa, it says Ella Oso, below Ksuso, below Oso, below Ksuso. only the man that is given skila without clothing, whereas the woman is not given skila without clothing. She is clothed in order to prevent it from being embarrassed. Then the Mishnah said, "Vaish nislevein v'chule." The man is also hung after the skila or after any mises based him, but the woman is not. So, what is this based upon? My timer again, based upon the pesukim. The pesukim said, "On my quote, man." The pesukim says, "Vesaliso." So, the man shall hang him alo eitz, but also only the man below osa and not her. And finally, the Mishnah concluded and said, "Oish nimkar b'kenei vaso ve'nish nimkares b'kenei vaso." A man is in fact sold when he is Rahman al-Islam Ganav and he's unable to pay back the money that he stole, so we sell him. But a woman who's a thief and she's unable to pay back what she stole, we do not sell her. Again, my time, what is this based upon? So I'm a quote. The Pasuk says, Vinimkar Bignei Vaso. The Pasuk tells us that he is sold, Vinimkar, he, masculine, Bignei Vaso, for his theft, but Bignei Vaso, only his Gneva, the low Bignei Vaso, but not if she steals something. So all of these diukim that we had in the Mishnah, the difference between a Kohen and a Kohenes, and between an Ish and an Isha, they're all based upon Psukim, they're all Dinim Daraisa, and that concludes the beautiful third parak of Sota, Hadron Alecha Hoya Notel, Hadron Alecha Hoya Notel, Hadron Alecha Hoya Notel.